I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It kind of feels a little bit like duck hunting weather.
Cut them.
It actually is duck hunting weather. I forgot about that. It's September season, September 1st through the 30th. You can hunt Skycarp.
Skycarp,
all
baby.
All month. That'd be hard to hit.
Down at the preserve at Verde.
Yeah. Go down into your local golf course and
hammer them.
Hunt your sky carp. We also got an early teal season. I really don't know when that is. I could look it up if y'all are interested.
We've had a lot of boomerang
stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know what I really wish that they would do here that they do in some other states is during that early teal season, I wish they would open it up for wood ducks too.
That would be cool.
It's not like I've seen a bunch of wood ducks. I'm sure there's some around. There's, refer to them as summer ducks.
Yeah.
Because they're here year round. But I'd love to have, I think I would actually hunt the early season. I used to hunt geese a lot on the lakes and had a bad experience I won't go into. But we got a great show coming up for you the second hour after the Roadkill Cafe. We are going to open it up. We're going to have Bill Dance. I won't sing the theme song again like it is.
You did a great job, by the way.
Yeah, that was the old theme song. He got a new theme song. Yeah. It's got his name in it.
Right.
But we're going to have Bill Dance on the show with us. Really looking forward to talking with Bill and find out. I got the opportunity to kind of rub shoulders with him last weekend when I was out in Memphis, Tennessee for the Mississippi River Monsters. And it was pretty cool, man. He's just a regular old guy.
Always has been.
And that's part of his appeal is it doesn't matter who you are, man. He takes an interest in you and talks to you. He's very genuine. And being on TV in one fashion or another
forever.
Almost 50 years.
There you go.
Almost 50 years. And speaking of almost 50 years on the radio, minus 45, we got my buddy Tommy Springer is going to jump into the Roadkill Cafe.
Well, I was going to go venison, and then I was going to go dove, and then I kept seeing these daggum posts by your buddy, Brian Carroll. He's slaying the shrimp. Slaying them.
Brian eats bait shrimp, okay? Sorry to say this. He goes out, he catches bait shrimp. Most people would put them on a hook.
Well, look.
Brian puts them in a pot.
Yeah, I actually even jarred some up.
I give him a hard time about eating bait shrimp.
I'll eat
them
too. Yeah. Hey, anytime he wants to give away bait shrimp, you send them to Moore, South Carolina. Springer gets some of that. So, besides being fried, my favorite way to do them is a cheesy shrimp and grits. All right. So here's what you got to have. You got to have, of course, some water, 1 cup of uncooked, and go with the quick because they're the easiest ones to deal with. Quick cooking grits. You're going to need some salt and some ground pepper and some butter, 2 cups or 8 ounces of shredded cheddar cheese, about 6 slices of bacon, and I chop it up real fine. 2 pounds of medium shrimp peeled. No heads.
Unless you're adventurous, right?
Unless you're adventurous. And then you're going to need a little bit of fresh lemon juice, a dash of Worcestershire sauce, and some chopped fresh parsley, and 6 green onions, and then chop them up real cool and real fine, and 2 garlic cloves, and we're going to mince those. All right, so what you're going to do is you're going to bring your water up to boil and put in your grits and stir, easy stuff. Cooking, stirring occasionally 5 to 7 minutes until they start to thicken. All right, then you're going to remove from the heat, and you're going to stir in the salt and the ground pepper, the butter, and the shredded cheese, and you're just going to kind of work that into it, till everything is mixed up and starting to come together. All right, then you're going to kind of set it off to the side and keep it warm, put it on the back burner over there and kind of keep it on warm. All right, then you're going to take and cook the bacon in a large nonstick skillet over medium heat, about 3 minutes or until crisp. It doesn't take long for bacon in a pan. And then you're going to throw in your shrimp. in the same pan with that bacon grease in there, which is, man, it just gives those shrimp even extra goodness. If there's any way possible, add bacon to anything, that's even better. About 3 minutes or until, you know, they start to turn that killer pink looking. And you stir occasionally. All right, then you're going to add the lemon juice and the Worcester sauce and the parsley and the green onions and the minced garlic, okay? And then you're going to let that kind of simmer about another 3 minutes and let everything kind of stir up and get all together, the shrimp and the bacon and all the ingredients. And then what I do after that is I spoon the grits into a nice bowl or a plate, whatever you like to use. And then I top it with the shrimp mixture that's got, you know, the bacon and the shrimp. And it's really good, and you serve immediately. And I don't know a whole lot of people that, you know, unless you're allergic to shellfish, Miss Pat, that doesn't like this recipe, and it's really good. So there you have it. Cheesy shrimp and grits. What you think, Philip Gentry?
I love shrimp.
Even bait shrimp will work in this.
Even bait shrimp, right? You can buy them for $2.97. Even some places even have them in a vending machine now.
Just, wow,
just
that
let
crazy?
Them thaw out.
Yeah.
Just let them thaw out.
Exactly.
Nah.
But the shrimp, but here's the thing. The shrimp and the shrimp are doing real well, okay? You know how we had a problem with a lot of them killed?
Yep.
They really started doing, they're small, but there's a lot of them. And now we got this, and it's going to flush them all the way to the Bermuda Islands.
I know there were a lot of, and it is actually shrimp baiting season.
Exactly.
I haven't gotten a lot of reports from the coast about, you know, any successes there. Most of the folks down along the coast really have kind of done away with the shrimp baiting.
True.
And going to deep hole shrimping.
Exactly, with a cast net.
You take the cast net with the little wings on it and in a bigger net.
Sure.
And find them.
Smaller mesh.
Yeah. And, well, no, I think it's still got to be, I think it's got to be half inch mesh.
Okay, well, that makes sense for it to be legal and all.
It's got to be half inch mesh.
You know, I seem to always look those little rules and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I got rules getting away. But, I don't know how the deep hole ones went. I did see my buddy Justin Carter had said he had done a trip. Man, he's guiding down there, part of Redfin Charters, and he had somebody charter him for just a shrimping trip.
Right.
And they had caught some good ones. And speaking of which, he finally caught a tarpon.
Good for him.
I think it was last week. I hadn't talked to him since then. Told him, I said, man, give me some good pictures.
Yeah,
when you catch a tarpon, because I need that.
Cool fish, powerful fish, amazing fish. I hope you and Amy is able to jack one up sometime.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, all right, because that's just a cool. That's a powerful fish.
A lot of people hook up on a tarpon, but they never.
I've hooked
them
up
in.
On several, and then they've only had one brought to the close enough to the pier where he could have been gaffed, but I didn't kill him. I let him go.
I seen two of them get close enough to ask their name before the bull sharks ate them whole.
And they said thank you.
Yeah, they did. No, the sharks didn't say nothing.
You know what? Because when a bull shark wakes up every day, you know what his first thing is?
I want to kill something.
I want to kill something. I need something to eat. There is no equality out in the ocean, my friend.
Oh, boy.
I love it. That way we just kind of worked that in there.
There you go.
That's it.
Well, let's go to our break, and then when we come back, we're going to get to your texts, and then we'll work in our way towards Bill Dance.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's Talk Station, and the Hurricane Florence Stand By and See What Happens show.
Operation Watch.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
That.
Sorry, Mark. Oh, yeah. I love that song. Riders on the Storm.
All right. Well, we're going to our text line today. Catching up on some of those. It says, are we starting at the bottom?
Well, you can start anywhere you want to. You're the boss.
I don't have. Is that ours? Bring back Don Russell?
No. It starts right here.
We were talking about how long earlier in the show about how long Bill Dance has been on. It says, what about Roland Martin, guys? That's true. Roland had a long show. Hey, guys, congratulations on 5 years. Hoping for many more. Yep. Let's see. And then Springer was talking about his biography. He says, you think your parents would have learned their lesson during Camille?
True enough. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and I think the same text. Camille was one of the few Cat 5 hurricanes to make landfall anywhere, anytime. It was a very deadly storm, almost 200-mile-an-hour winds and 28-foot storm surge. Congratulations on 5 years. And then somebody says, next text says, how can it be a tropical storm in North Carolina? Shouldn't it be called a Confederate catastrophe?
I like that one. I like the way you think.
Hey, guys, like a married couple, are you sick of each other after 5 years? No, long as Springer allows me to stay on top, we're good. let's see. Another texter says, how can there be 50-mile-an-hour winds around me, but the storm is only moving at 2 miles per hour? Sounds like when the wife and I are fooling around. That sounds like a person. Hey, you just got to watch out for that premature evacuation. And then, of course, Derek writes in, good roadkill today. I bet if you can add some heat to it, make it real tasty with some paprika or jalapenos.
I love the way he spells it, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to read that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's somebody from Union County.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway.
That's
appreciate
funny.
The text.
That's funny.
It's funny.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We'll let that one ride.
Well, hey, we got Bill Dance and the Wings, so we're going to go to our break early. And then when we come back, we're going to have old Bill Dance. Bill Dance Outdoors.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the number one talk station in the Upstate, and this is one of the reasons why what we do here on Saturday. Get you some.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on the radio, and we have got a special treat for you. We've been kind of teasing our audience about the possibility of having our next guest on, and actually last week, as you know, Tommy Springer and Chris Wells had the helm of the show while I was in Memphis, Tennessee, and I did manage to connect with probably the biggest name in fishing, Bill Dance, and we got Bill on the show with us today. Bill, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, thank you, Phillip. It's great to be here, buddy.
Well, Bill, I tell you what, Bill Dance Outdoors has been a mainstay in most anybody who's ever touched a rod and reel for many years. Was reading the bio on your Bill Dance Outdoors website, and it said that the show premiered in 1968. I really find that hard to believe.
Well, we started, I think we're pushing our 50th year. We started here locally in Memphis, and then we put that show in Jackson, Mississippi, and then on down in Baton Rouge, and then up in Paducah, Kentucky. We were doing like 208 shows a year in those four markets, 52 weeks a year. And then we syndicated, and then we went to cable, and then we stayed with cable. And that's where we are today with the Outdoor Channel and the Sportsman Channel with saltwater and freshwater. So we've been doing it a long time.
Well, I got to ask you a question. I mean, you've probably fished in every water imaginable. If you had to pick probably your favorite, I won't say favorite fish because I know you've been bass fishing for a long time, but what's been your most memorable fish that you've caught in all your years on TV?
Well, there's been a lot of them. I can remember the most memorable one I lost was probably in a Bassmaster Classic. It was the one I lost that cost me the Classic. But I can remember individual fish that were a special fish. My biggest largemouth. I can relate to my biggest smallmouth. I can relate to my biggest snook. I can relate to my biggest redfish. I can relate to watching each one of my children catch their very first fish. There's just been special moments and special fish in my lifetime. I can remember catching my biggest catfish right here on the Mississippi River. And then I can remember catching my very first largemouth bass that really kick-started my career. I remember buying my very first bass lure. My grandmother gave me 75 cents, and I remember walking into a hardware store. That's the only place you could buy fishing lures back in those days. I was 7 years old, and I'd been eyeing this one bait for a long time. And I'd go in there, and the guy that ran the hardware store, he'd pull it out from under the counter, and he'd set it up there, and he'd let me play with it and take it out of the box. And finally, my grandmother gave me 75 cents, and I bought that lure. and surprisingly, that lure is still made today. But I remember buying that lure, and I remember seeing the fish, throwing, casting to the fish, and seeing the fish hit the bait. But it's just special moments in particular fish. There's just a bunch of them that were special moments in my life that I remember and I'll always remember.
And can you believe, you know, you were talking about, you know, the first lure that you went in and you eyed. Would you ever have imagined the way the fishing tackle industry, and we can even expand that out into the marine industry, the way it has evolved around fishing? I mean, you know, you were instrumental in some of the early bass boats, but could you ever imagine that it was going to grow into the industry that it has?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, back in the early days, way back in the 60s, when Ray came along with the tournaments, I fished that very first tournament on Beaver Lake in Arkansas, and I watched the industry. Industry really wasn't behind it too much. And then the second tournament, the third tournament, and that first year rolled by. And then the second year, and I thought, well, it can't get any bigger. This is something. And the following year, and then the first 5 years rolled by. And I thought, good night. Look at this. Look how much it's grown. And I said, it just can't get any bigger. And then another big wave of 5 years passed, and it just exploded. And then I watched the industry really get in behind it. And I watched Forrest Woods with his line of boats, the Ranger boats. And then I watched the outboard industry. And then I started watching fishing tackle, fishing lines and rods and reels and lures, and how the industry really started to get more and more involved, and then how fishermen became a lot more educated, learning more about fish habits and their habitat, and how much better fishermen became at reading water, and how equipment became, rods became lighter weight, more sensitive, how our fishing lines became stronger, how the breaking strength, our knots became better in our fishing lines. Our hooks became sharper. Our graphs, our depth finders became better. Our outboard motors, our trolling motors, all our equipment started to blossom. Our fishing lures, everything just year after year after year, it just got better and better and better. And fishermen became better at what they did. We were becoming a lot more educated. And I look at it today, it's the sport it is. It's big time. It's really big time.
And, you know, if you're looking in that vein, you know, obviously bass fishing, in your experience, was the leader in that. But now you've got, especially, you know, with bass fishing tournaments, but now just about every major game fish has its own kind of nuclear following, you know, whether that be crappie fishing, or whether, you know, you mentioned, you know, some of the saltwater species, the redfish, you've got tournaments around those, walleye fishing, and also with catfishing.
Well, you do. You go from saltwater, you know, your billfish tournaments, your marlin tournaments, and then you come on in to you have shark tournaments, you have your redfish tournaments, and then inshore tournaments with some of the species we just named. But and then, of course, you have the walleye trails, you have the crappie masters trails, you have the, and of course, your bass fishing. But catfishing has really started to jump by leaps and bounds. For years and years, catfishing was just, people said it was just a trash fish. Well, that's a bunch of hooey. You go in a restaurant today, and one of the top menus, top items on the menu is catfish. And you look at the popularity of this sport, you're seeing more and more now. You're seeing catfish pros. You're seeing catfish rods, catfish hooks. You're seeing catfish seminars. You're seeing catfish boats. There's so much more now starting to blossom. I look back at the bass tournaments, or not the bass tournaments, how bass was back in that early days. Well, I see that now in catfish. We had a tournament that you were here in Memphis just this past weekend. We had over 350 contestants that participated in this event. We've got another big event coming up at on the Mississippi River. I think it's October the 6th at Cape at New Madrid, and that's a Cabela's big event. That'll probably draw, I don't know how many. We just finished a big event just south of here down at Helena on the Mississippi River. It drew a big number of anglers. But these tournaments are starting to get bigger and bigger. And the payouts are getting bigger. These anglers are getting, they're very scientific. Their boats, their equipment, the rods, line, the hooks, the graphs. They're very scientific in what they do. And the agencies, the Game and Fish, they're starting to take a big interest in it and learning more about these fish and what they do. The tagging programs. We had some interesting things that I just found out this past week. We had a fish... one fish that was tagged last year, and the Missouri River, which is the longest river in the United States, people think the Mississippi is, but actually then the Missouri River is the longest river in the United States. A catfish was tagged in Memphis in 2017 in this same tournament that you were in last weekend. That fish was caught in the Osage area on the Missouri River just recently. And that fish traveled over 430 miles in a year. It was tagged right here in Memphis. And in a year, it moved up the Mississippi, moved into the Missouri River, and moved all the way up into the Osage area. That's over 430 miles. We had another blue cat that was tagged in Memphis a year ago that weighed 37 pounds, and it was caught a year later, just about 2 weeks ago, and it weighed 58 pounds. When it was tagged, it weighed 37 a year ago. That's a 21-pound. That's 21 pounds a weight gain in a year.
Wow. And Bill, you know,
we're learning all this. We're learning more and more about these fish, and not only how to catch them, but we're learning more about their habits and their habitat. But go ahead.
When you talk about, you know, these different species, there's almost one central area that's kind of like the home or the capital. You know, people always used to think that Weiss Lake, Alabama, matter of fact, they promoted themselves as the crappy capital of the world. And now we're looking at catfish and on the Mississippi River, and there's kind of a movement toward making Memphis, Tennessee, which is your hometown area, kind of the central focus of catfishing.
Well, the Mississippi it's kind of centrally located. It's a major, major tributary. It's centrally located. This river has five different kind of catfish, from the mighty blue to the yellows or the flathead, as channel, bullheads, and of course the spoonbill. But the most popular is the blue cat. And even back in the 1800s, this river had 150-pound blues in it. But that were over 6 feet long. But of course, commercial netting destroyed that gene pool. But TWRA passed a Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency back in 2004 passed a 34-inch size limit, giving these fish the opportunity to grow to trophy size. And there's been several fish in the 100-plus pounds that have been caught right here in the Memphis area. So we have lots of big, big fish in this area. This area, as I just told you, the growth rate on some of these fish, we have lots of big fish in the area. The Mississippi is a phenomenal fishery, although the Tennessee, just an hour and less than an hour and a half away to our east, is another great fishery. But the city of Memphis has labeled this area the catfish capital of the world because it is such a fabulous fishery. It's our biggest fish in the area to fish for. We have fishing here usually starts at about, depending, we're always at the mercy of the river, usually starts in about May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. So we have good fishing here usually about 6 or 7 months of the year. And then we start getting our spring rain, our snowmelt water in February, March, April. But you can still catch fish there then, usually our prime months are, say, May, June, July, and August, September, and October, on into November. But it's a fabulous fishery, and the tournaments show that by the number of big, big fish that are weighed in.
And tell us a little bit about now we've got the backing where you've got Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, you know, where Johnny Morris has acquired the Cabela's. And these big retail companies are getting behind a lot of these fisheries. And,
absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about Bass Pro Shops' involvement in this catfish movement.
Well, Johnny Morris, real high on it. Johnny and I have fished the Mississippi before. He's real high on this catfish. He can see the future of this business and how fast it's starting to grow. Their tackle sales and terminal tackle have been phenomenal. Several manufacturers are seeing it. I think B&M has really capitalized on it. Quantum is capitalized on it, and other manufacturers, rod manufacturers and reel manufacturers, have capitalized on it much more so in the past year or two than in the past. Every year it seems to get bigger and bigger and get better. They're starting to realize just how big it is, and you can see it in the aluminum boat market too. There's more and more getting into it.
Well, Bill, I hate to cut you short, but we got to go promote some of our sponsors here on Upstate Outdoors.
I can understand that.
I can't thank you enough for being on our show. As a matter of fact, today is our 5-year anniversary for Upstate Outdoors.
Congratulations.
I can't think of a better guest to have on our 5-year anniversary show than the legendary Bill Danza. But thanks for your time and being on the show, and I look forward to seeing you again next time I head out that way.
Well, buddy, we look forward to just seeing you and having you as a guest. Come anytime, and good luck with your weather.
Thank you, sir.
Woo! Get you some!
Springer.
I'm sorry.
Leave the singing to me.
Okay, I will.
Not to death singing. Welcome back, Upstate Outdoors. Grabbing your call, we got Robert on the phone. Robert, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Philip, I just want you to know that I'm a big fan of your show. I'm 58 years old, and that interview with Bill Dance was just knocked its slam out of the park for the 5-year anniversary. And I grew up watching Bill Dance all my life, and I actually was a member of a junior bass chapter years ago when I was a teenager at Lake Lanier in Georgia, and I won the tournament and got to fish off of Ray Scott's boat, and it was just 16 years old. It was just absolutely the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. And Bill Dance was there. Bill Dance has got a commercial that he does for Bass Pro Shops now, where whoever the NASCAR driver is.
Martin Truex Jr., yep.
Right, he's in that commercial with Truex, and it's just unbelievable to see the career that the man has had, and just how you knocked it out of the park by getting him on the show. I do not know. I know you were over there last week fishing. That's how you secured it, but. You just outdid yourself, Philip. Outdid yourself.
Well, thank you very much. And I just say this: if you ever get the chance, and I don't know how long they'll have this, if you ever get the chance to go to the Bass Pro Shops at the Pyramid in Memphis, and of course that's his hometown in Collierville, Tennessee, they have got what I can call a shrine to Bill Dance. It's got a wax figure, and he's in that old the tracker boat there, and they got a lot of information about him. And I will say this before we get to the calendar of events. A lot of hype and stuff about Bill Dance, but the whole time he's just been himself, and he's got that personality. He's that kind of guy that everybody's kind of folded around him, and he's just good old Bill Dance. I don't care who you are. He'll take his time. He'll talk with you. He'll pose with you, and he'll talk to you. And that's kind of how we got the interview.
That's what makes the man great, Philip.
Yep.
Exactly what you just said. That's what makes him all-time great, and that's what's going to make you and Tommy all-time greats, just the way y'all are being
Golly.
Right now.
Man, Robert, that's amazing. That's a hell of a daggum. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, we appreciate that endorsement.
God bless y'all. God bless y'all for what you do. Somebody put an anchor and a rope around Springer so he don't get blowed off in this hurricane.
Yeah.
And y'all be back next week to surprise us again. It's just absolutely phenomenal what y'all did today.
Yes, sir.
God
thank,
bless. Thank you,
very
Robert.
Much. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Not a
That's
anchor.
Why we do this, Philip Gentry. That is why we do this.
Yep. Yep. For our fans. And I don't think we have to tie an anchor around Springer. We just tie a case of natural light. That usually grinds
wow.
him pretty well.
Man, that was one way. That just made the 5 year. Wow. Anyway, calendar of events.
Yeah, let's
go.
Jump into the calendar
All right,
events.
The Upstate's chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is going to be having a get-together Hunter's Night on September the 20th. That will be this week at the St. George Greek Church, Academy Street, Greenville, South Carolina. Tickets are $35 per person. Includes a great meal, soft drinks, beer, wine, and an opportunity to win some great firearms that they're going to be doing auctions and silent auctions on. And if you're interested, you can get a hold to Bud Thomas at 864-313-9087 or contact him at bthomas@hydrofogger.com and Jim Griffin, 864-593-3000, and you can get a hold of him at jegriffin28@gmail.com. Got tongue twisted there. I'm still overwhelmed with Robert's comment. That's amazing. That's just incredible. All right, also coming up on the 21st, that will be Friday night of this week, the South Carolina Waterfowl Association will be having a dinner and auction at the Anderson Conservation Dinner and Auction, hosted by the South Carolina Waterfowl Association South Carolina Waterfowl Association Anderson Chapter, and this will be held at the Anderson Civic Center, 3027 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. That will be in Anderson, 6 o'clock on Friday, September the 21st, and that's open to the public. Next week, Cabela's is going to have a big weekend. I thought of you when I seen this. Free fishing seminars Saturday, next Saturday, 11:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m., and also Sunday at 2 p.m. with Matthew Reed, one of the Cabela's pro staffers. There are other guys that was going to be there. He had to go check on his family and make sure everything was safe. And here's the kicker. September the, where's it at? It's the same day, 22nd, they're going to be doing free kayak demos. They're going to have a pool or something out there where you can actually
get Barry Davis out there in the kayak.
They're going to probably have Barry Davis out there in the kayak.
Hey, speaking of which, I know that's not in the calendar, but they've got my buddy, Captain Stephen Fields, is up at Cabela's this weekend.
Wow.
If there's any, Stephen's is a Navionics Pro. So if there's anything you ever wanted to know about your sonar mapping,
right,
go up there and see Steven. I might even stop by there after the show and say hey to him.
I follow Steven on Facebook. He's all about some electronics and knows a whole lot about them. That's great stuff. Also, we got a free family fishing clinic coming up next Saturday on the 22nd at Table Rock, 158 Ellison Lane, Pickens, South Carolina. And there's no, you don't have to register for it. You can just show up. It's free. Family Fishing Clinic shows you the ABCs of getting started fishing. And, Philip, I do believe I'm down to the last one here. Where's it at? Let's see. Don't miss the Mountain Bridge Trout Unlimited Chapter 3rd Annual Film Festival and Fundraiser. That's going to be on October the 5th, time 5 to 9, where? Brewery 85 in Greenville. There you go.
We got another text in. Shot the Clinton House yesterday for their 1,000-yard range. Great people, and they have all the shooting options you will ever need. The only bad thing about that 1,000-yard range is
I'd have to shoot it three times.
You can't fish the pond behind it because that's their backstops on that dam. So,
oh really?
And he won't let me go in there and kayak fishing. They got a good fishing pond back in there. So he's like, can't go there during any time somebody's shooting. But we've been following Hurricane Florence, and WORD is doing the Operation Hurricane Florence Watch, where you can get all of your information all weekend long. I think Tara's going to be here in the morning. Bobby Mack's going to be here tomorrow afternoon.
4 to 6.
Updating you on all the Florence stuff, and if she'll ever get here. And in the meantime, we got our parting shot based on some animal activity you might be able to expect. Well, in 2017, when Hurricane Harvey drenched southeast Texas and flooded Houston and surrounding communities, people weren't the only ones who sought higher ground. The area's abundant wildlife inhabitants did also. Now, in the aftermath of the storm, reports and images of swimming snakes and lurking alligators made the rounds on social media, and some of them were either not current or not even real at all, such as the fake photo of a shark that was most definitely not swimming down a waterlogged city freeway.
10-4.
But the Houston metropolitan area is home to thousands of American alligators that reside in hundreds of miles of streams and bayous, more than 20 species of snakes, billions of invasive fire ants. Now, they can all drown, okay? I don't care. And plenty of deer, raccoon, and other critters, all of which were struggling to escape the rising waters. Now, with no Noah's Ark to ferry them around, maybe we should talk about the Palmetto Navy. But, hey, if you ain't got no people, scoop up some of them deer and bring them back to safety.
I like it.
Yeah, how well would that go?
Not good.
But with no Noah's Ark to ferry them away, wild animals showed up in some unusual spots, said Texas wildlife officials and professionals. Those same people add that despite some animals' fearsome reputations, there was no reasons to panic. In Houston, you've got pretty much two things, where you build, which is higher, and where you don't build, which is low. Wildlife is going to seek the high ground, which happens to be the places where we build, said Kelly Norrid, an urban wildlife biologist in Texas Parks and Wildlife. Mammals that don't want to be in the water may end up being in your garage or your attic. And some of the animals that were displaced included alligators, snakes, fire ants, like we mentioned, bats, prairie chickens.
Yeah.
And deer. Mm-hmm. So, Springer, you might not have to worry about hunting deer this bow season. You just need to go to some higher ground around their pond and wait for them to swim to you.
Okay, well, I'll just get a chair and put it on the back porch. That way I'll be a little more higher.
Yeah. Be a little more higher. Wait for them to swim out.
Yeah,
and,
I like it.
Boom, there you go. So,
fire ants.
Yeah.
I remember images of fire ants when that was going on.
They all cleaned together in a big ball.
It would be the size of a table of nothing but fire ants.
They will put their queen in the middle and they will form a live raft around her, and they will float her to safer ground.
Agreed.
And don't. Yeah, don't break that up. Don't touch them, because you will turn. You will. I mean, if they're floating by, you want to.
No.
But, man, you break that up.
It's bad news.
And you got fire ants.
Fire ants are bad news, man.
Well, we want to thank, while we got time, we want to thank everybody that's been on our show today. Bobby Jackson with the Palmetto Navy. Of course, Captain E, our reporter. And can't say enough, great applause for Bill Dance for agreeing to be on our show. It's been a great 5 years. And, hey, it just seems like yesterday, and looking forward to five more. Springer, that's the end of our show. Brother, take us home.
Love having you here, too, PG. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. Stay dry. Talk to you next week. Love you, mean it. Get outside. It'll cleanse your soul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.